Well, brethren, we're very happy to have Brother David Horedchuk from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada with us, serving our convention for the first time. And we have selected a topical study this afternoon, evil speaking, a deadly fire. And when we consider the words of in the book of James that every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed by mankind. But then it goes on to say, but the tongue no man can tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the mouth, same mouth, proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So I'm sure that in analyzing this study this afternoon, that we will receive a blessing, because every one of us in our consecrated walk has been, to some degree, guilty of loose words with our tongue. So we want to get the balance of the scriptures and analyze these points. And so we'll turn this study over to Brother David at this time.
Thanks, Brother Dan, and dear brethren. It certainly is a joy to be in your midst today to consider the good word of God as we dwell together today on a topic that the brethren here in Hartford have chosen for us, a very important topic, a crucial topic, as we will consider it, and I'm sure as you have considered it in your studies coming to this convention and previous times along this narrow way of considering evil speaking. We bring to you the love and greetings of your brethren in Winnipeg, Canada, who think of you often. As we get the reports of the brethren in this part of the United States now, we're happy to be linked to the brethren here in this area and rejoice to see your faithfulness along this narrow way. You know, when we consider any topic, any scriptural topic, we are blessed of our Heavenly Father in His arrangements of opening up our minds and our hearts to focus in on things which are pleasing in His sight. We all know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but it's by God's grace that He has chosen ones here and there. He has visited the Gentiles to call out of them a people for His name. And in so doing, in this call, in this selection, in this proving process, we undergo a transformation from what we were previously, aliens to the commonwealth of God, now into His family, as sons, progressing along the way, and as such, He requires us to come up to certain standards, to recognize certain standards of truth, to appreciate them, to love them, to serve them, to understand them, and to apply them in our daily life. This topic on evil speaking is a subset of the scriptures, granted, but a crucial one. When we consider, when we look at this topic, and we think, for example, what we were, what the world is today, what do we see out? Do we see a lot of beauty? We do. We also see intermingled with that thieves, robbers, assassins, murders. Murderers along the way. When we consider, brethren, we think about it. Have you thought about this, that we can be classed, according to the law of God, as thieves, as character assassins, as murderers, in a higher sense, not in the actual sense, but according to the scriptures. Our study on evil speaking bears along this line. It is a serious topic, brethren. It is a serious topic, as our theme text brings out. It's a deadly fire. The tongue is a deadly fire. It can set on course the course of the fire of Gehenna. As James brings out in James 3:6, it's a fire, it's a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, and it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of Gehenna. As we go along, we'd like to bring out some thoughts along these lines, investigate this a little bit more deeply, investigate what it means, and it's in a good degree of precision, we hope, from the scriptures and from some practical examples along the way that the brethren will share, what it means to evil speak. How can we correct this? What will it lead to? These are some of the things we'd like to consider today. But to begin, we thought it might be good just to get our minds working along the lines of scriptural lines. That's our authority. That's our guideline. We'd like to ask the brethren, just for about 5 minutes or so, take a few comments, on some general scriptures on evil speaking, just to get a cross-section of some of the scriptures, some of them which perhaps we will not bring up in the course of our study because they are on broad lines. But let's start thinking that way. Let's start exercising our minds. What are some of the scriptures? What are some of the admonitions that we have that touch on, that bear on the subject of evil speaking? Who'd have a scripture to start us off? Sister Ruth.
Colossians
3, 5, and 10. Very good. Speak evil of no man. Thank you. Brother Dan.
Psalms 39:1. I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me.
Thank you very much. Some very important words there. Further scriptures. Sister Janice.
Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
Thank you very much. Any further scriptures? Sister Jean.
Proverbs 21:23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble.
That's a very good admonition. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Any further scriptures? I forgot your name, sister.
Jude 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, what they know naturally, as through deep emotions they corrupt themselves.
Thank you very much. Jude 10. Any further scriptures? Sister Esther.
Proverbs 6:19.
Thank you very much. Any further scripture? Brother Gene. Thank you very much. Again, focus on the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart. The link there is important. Any further scriptures? That would touch on, in a general sense, the importance of watching our words, of watching the scriptures that bear on the tongue, and its importance along this line. Yes, Sir Rosen. Thank you very much. Any further scriptures? Sister Ruth.
Romans 12:14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not.
Please. Very good. Shows what should be proceeding from our mouth. Should be blessing and not cursing. Good. Yes, Brother Paul.
James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath.
Thank you. Well, we could go on, I'm sure, as we start, we can see, at least from these beginning scriptures, brethren. We'd like to add another one which we think bears on in a general sense, Ephesians 4:29, which says, let no corrupt or putrid communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Matthew 12:34 tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Many remember, I'm sure, 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil communications corrupt good manners. And there are a host of other scriptures, brethren, as we go along. I'm sure we'll bring out scriptures related to our questions along the line of evil speaking. But it gives us an idea that this is, because it's mentioned so many times in the scriptures, if something is emphasized, it's important. It's important for us to notice these scriptures, and not only to notice them, but to do something about them, to apply them. So we'd like to go now through our outline. We trust everyone has a copy of the outline of our study, the six questions that we do have. We'd like to try to cover as much as possible today and try to get down to some precision as we'll share references one with another on the different aspects of evil speaking, with the hope that we can come away from this study perhaps more noting some of the things that we're deficient in, and helping one another to build up one another in this most holy faith, to correct some of these problems that we may have along this narrow way. So let's begin with question number one, which says, what is the difference between evil speaking and gossiping? What is the difference between evil speaking and gossiping? Perhaps what we should do in this question is first, we'll just take one at a time. Let's start with gossiping. Let's start with a definition of what is gossiping, and then we'll progress and compare it to evil speaking. Who'd have a thought? Sister Julie. Okay, busybodying in others' affairs and idle talking of others. Okay, appreciate that. Any further comments? What is gossiping? Sister Ruth.
A Webster Dictionary defines it as trivial rumor of a personal nature, one who habitually engages in such talk and casual chatty talk.
Okay, thank you. Any further comments? Brother Paul.
Gossiping would not necessarily indicate a evil content, but just relating facts, or maybe not facts, according to what one has heard, and that's just related. It's no evil intent necessarily.
I think that's a good point. Appreciate that. Any further comments? Brother Dan.
Ephesians 5:4, it speaks about filthiness, but it says, nor foolish talking nor jesting which are not convenient. This gossip is something that's not edifying, it's not convenient, so why? It's not done with an evil intent to slander somebody, but it's foolish talking, really.
Okay, thank you. Brother David.
Though we haven't defined evil speaking yet, I think there's something we should note about gossiping. As Dan said, it might not necessarily be evil speaking, but in considering the subject, we have to consider both the effect upon others and the effect upon oneself. If we are people who are inclined to gossip, even though it may not be evil speaking, it is not conducive to growing in the character of Christ. So it can be detrimental to our own character growth while not itself being evil speaking.
Okay, thank you. Any further comments? I think that's given a good basis for gossiping. We'll perhaps maybe we'll look at that as we now compare it to evil speaking. We'd like to add for right now that gossiping, from what we can see so far from our references, is discussion of others or their private affairs where we have no direct involvement, or and where there is no constructive motive or objective in discussing their person. In other words, it's just filling the time with idle prattle. You like to discuss, you look at others' affairs, and as brethren have mentioned, it's not necessarily evil in itself, but you're looking into their lives and you're bringing out certain things about their lives just to fill the time, with really no intent of helping or showing any kind of direct concern or interest in their life. Relating factual information, which would not necessarily be injurious to the other person, but nevertheless is really not convenient, is not necessary, really, to look at that. Okay, let's now look at a definition of evil speaking, and let's compare them. The gossiping with the evil speaking. Who'd have some thoughts along that line? Sister Jean.
Well, as we've seen, that gossiping does not necessarily have evil intent. Evil speaking does. And it is the intent to injure one another. And I think that's the primary difference between them. Gossiping can, of course, and often does lead to the evil intent because it conjures up people's surmises in our minds.
Okay, thank you. We're talking about intent now. Any further comments? What is evil speaking? Is it the hideous things? Is it the lying about others? Or what is it, Sister Ruth?
Again, I'd like to bring out what the dictionary says. This, by knowing what the dictionary means, then you know how to apply it to the scriptures. And the dictionary says evil is morally bad or wrong, wicked. It's injurious, harmful, and that which is morally bad or wrong, wickedness as a noun, and that which causes misfortune and suffering. And so if you apply all this to evil speaking, then it's something that's morally bad or wrong, and it could cause misfortune and cause suffering by evil speaking.
Okay, appreciate that. Any further comments? What's our definition of evil speaking? Sister in the stable.
Yes, Sister Marguerite.
Thank you.
I was going over the reprints, Brother David, and this article on 2442, Blessing God and Cursing Men. 2443 gives an interesting contrast here. It says, we have even known people who took cognizance of the scriptural injunction against slander and evil speaking, who were so utterly confused on the subject and so unaware of their own conduct that they would declare their horror of speaking in slander in the very same breath in which they utter slander. So we sometimes get so much in the habit of this that we don't get cognizance of what we're doing, and that's very harmful.
Thank you very much. Any further comments? We know we'll be honing our definition as we go along, but we'd like some opening comments from the brethren on general thoughts about evil speaking. Sister.
Character assassination.
Character assassination. Okay. Part of the definition. Any further comments? Sister Ruth, and then Brother Tim.
Well, the scriptures say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so that's why we have to watch our tongue, because it's going to say what's in our heart. So actually, we have to watch our heart, too, because whatever our heart condition is, that's what our tongue is going to say. So we have to be careful, because if we say something, we could say some evil speaking, then we will hurt someone. We'll ruin their character or hurt them in some way. We hurt our own character by evil speaking.
Okay, thank you. It's hurtful and it's injurious to both parties. Brother Tim.
I think the caution perhaps has already been mentioned or at least alluded to is the difference comparing between gossiping and evil speaking, how one could lead into the other without really realizing it or being aware of it, and yet all of a sudden you've changed from something that was maybe innocent to begin with, or at least, even if not the best, at least not with intent, and now it's slapped over into the other.
Very good. So there is a progression. They are related, is what you're saying. Okay. Good. Any further comments? Evil speaking, what does it mean? How is it related, or is it related to gossiping? Brother Jean.
Well, I think in general terms we would say it's unkind, it's uncomplimentary to another, and it's something that we would not want someone to say about us if we would feel distressed, crying, and hard. If we knew that someone was saying that, we would feel that it's unkind and unnecessary to say. So he was speaking as if, very serious, it could have only philosophy, and I often take it from the old days in the country where I read that they had the party line. And they had the party gossips that were everybody helpful to make the call, and receivers would all go off with, you know, and everyone would listen to your conversation. We had, you know, community information. Well, it was really none of that fair. The people got their entertainment, I guess, through a busybody getting information on the telephone. Really, they shouldn't have been privy to it. So, you know, when you spoke on the telephone, you had to realize that maybe five or six people might be listening. And that became like the town gossip a lot. So I think it may have some, you know, innocence associated with it. In those days, maybe they listened to the telephone line instead of listening to the soap operas, but that was their entertainment.
Appreciate that. Brother David.
Didn't have a chance to study the subject beforehand, so as I'm listening to comments, I'm trying to look at different things, but I came across an interesting tidbit of information about the Ephesians 4:31 instance of evil speaking, that the Greek word there is blasphemia. And that kind of tells us a lot about the nature of evil speaking.
Mm-hmm. In the sense of blaspheming others. Okay, thank you. Any further comments? Brother John.
Brother David. Even this gossip, where it seems harmless, can overflow and then become evil. It depends on the hearer. It depends on who we're speaking to and their frame of mind and the position of their heart. Either way, we're told by the Lord that by our words we shall be justified and by our words we shall be condemned. And so, in answer, yea, yea, or nay, nay is the best. I know we can't always live that way, as it were, but we're informed by the Master, yes, yes, or no, no. If you go beyond that, you see, sometimes you can incite trouble or bring out passions in people or bring out the evil as a man thinketh in his heart, so to see. Sometimes you can say something in an innocent way and bring out the wrong and the degraded person. So we have to be very careful.
Okay, thank you very much. Any further comments? Sister Esther. Okay. Okay, thank you very much. In God's eyes, looked upon as murder. Okay. Any further comments?
Well, just to follow through with that, even in the courts and society as we have today, it's a slander, and they have laws and penalties for that. And as it was brought out, one can assassinate a brother's character or a sister's character or a neighbor's character, you see, by their speech. So it has to be weighed very carefully what they say, especially if there should be no evil communication coming out of the Lord's speech.
Thank you very much. I think what we'll do is we'll kind of summarize the thoughts on this question. The other questions certainly overlap, as you've noticed on your outline, and we'll be able to hone the definitions as we come along, but appreciate the thoughts of the brethren. And so far, we can see that there is certainly a direct relationship between gossip and evil speaking. It's almost as if they were on opposite ends of a spectrum, and we see a progression. We see there are intermediary steps which lead from gossip to evil speaking. Gossip, as we've been talking about, relates to talking about factual information, things which are not necessarily, where there's no evil intent, but talking about others with really no objective purpose or motive in mind. This can lead to, as we discuss others, oh my, he's got this in the house and he does this and he's going there and she does this and she doesn't do this. As we started relating some of these things, then it could lead to the next step of evil thinking, evil surmisings. And this becomes a little bit more than gossiping. It certainly does become a lot more than gossiping. It becomes also, what's related as the next step, is busybodying. We start to think, well, now we have cause to look into somebody's affairs. We have reason to. We want to help them out, and we want to straighten things out and give them advice. because they're doing these things wrong. So now we're looking at the gossip, we're looking at the factual information of a person's life, and we're starting to stick on, attach motives to some of these things. Well, they're doing this, they're away on whatever, working on the house, or planning this, or planning that, and they're away from... They don't appreciate the meetings as much as they used to. Well, there's a motive you're attaching onto the brethren. This starts to lead into these evil surmising. You start surmising things which may and often are not actually true. This persists. You keep on going. You keep on thinking about these things, thinking more about the brethren, and these evil surmisings start building up. The adversary is there, and we start into slander. What is slander? Slander is anything uttered with the intention to injure or injure one another, whether the statement be true or false. And evil speaking, we believe, as the pastor outlines in many places in different articles, is not just the hideous things that we're talking about. It includes all defamatory or injurious remarks against others, words of hatred, malice, envy, or strife, everything which would injure another to any degree. Brother Russell says, as I think it was partially quoted, with many it is as natural to gossip as it is to breathe. He says they do it unconsciously. But gossiping becomes evil speaking when it starts incorporating slander. In other words, intent to injure another. The motive and the attitude are the keys in this sense, brethren. You're relating factual information, then you start ascribing more to it that's not there. And he says, the gossipy flavor makes the stories kind of juicier. You like to hear these things. You like to pick up on the things that are not exactly right and, oh, what are they doing, instead of the proper things. The fallen nature likes to perpetuate these things, has an ear for those things. And when it gets to the point of evil speaking, that's a serious condition. This is where, as James brings out in James 3, where we start getting this fire condition. Let's have a look at that for a second. Let's look at James 3. Brother Bob, could you read for us James 3, 1 through 6, and Sister Rebecca from 7 to 14, please.
James 3, 1 to 6. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of Gehenna.
Gehenna. Thank you.
For every kind of beast, and of bird, and of serpent, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed in mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith blessed be God, even the Father, and therewith cursed be men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. But the fountain sent forth at the same place, and the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, date. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endowed with knowledge among you? Let him show out of the good conversation his words with meekness and wisdom. But if he has bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth.
Thank you very much. We see from James in the second verse in particular, if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. This is a standard, brethren. This is what we're looking for. A perfect man would be able to do that, to control, no matter what the situation is, control his words, the communication out of his mouth, because the heart is pure. This is what we're striving for. But we see James and others bring out what a danger the tongue can be. It can be as likened as to a fire, something which will inflame, something which will destroy, and we have to be very careful. Another thought before we go to question number two, as we look at our general definition here, is taken from Reprint 5974. It's also the Songs in the Night of May 16th. Where Brother Russell says, wrath in an imperfect fallen being seems to be deep, determined, and lasting anger, something that is resentful or retaliatory. He says, evil speaking is a more refined, a more subtle matter, more deceitful, more malicious. It really is, on one end of the scale, if persisted in, brethren, this is a very dangerous condition. We have to recognize that. We have to set, as we go through our Christian walk, guards, so that we don't get to that condition. We don't traverse that condition. If we don't, we have to make sure we don't even set foot in the first part. We have to recognize the leadings. We have to recognize the path to these things and recognize what the Scriptures indicate as what the standard of a perfect man is, what our Heavenly Father requires. Gossip does lead to evil speaking. We have to watch that. Let's look at question number two. We'll get some more definitions, hopefully, from the Scriptures, from our pastor. Might telling the truth be evil speaking? We're children of the light. We walk in the light, and as children of the light, are we not obliged to speak the truth? Are we not obliged to tell the truth in all cases? Is this not the thought? Might telling the truth be evil speaking? What are some of the thoughts of the brethren? Brother Levi.
I didn't want to let you get away from that song tonight. So I thought I'd take my time, but put it where it is, because it says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. No matter what the provocation may be, you should see that the matter of settlement is impossible. Now, just as that succinct observation, I'm not seeing where this matter of gossip and speaking is relevant to those who want to make sure that they keep their relationships with one another as brethren, not because they're being brethren. But that's the general thing. With one another as brethren. We're all supposed to be a family-oriented group.
Service. So I think that all of this matter of
fire is good if it's going to make the brethren feel obligated to keep the relationships with one another on a healthy, therapeutic, spiritual harmony.
Appreciate your comments, Brother Levi, but we have to be careful, I think, along this line in terms of our relationships one with another. We compare the earthly family, as you mentioned, to a family of God, sons according to the Spirit. But remember what the Scriptures say. It says, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. We have to maintain, and perhaps, I think this probably enters into our study a little bit more deeply, perhaps this is a source of some of the problems, where we'd like to deal with our brethren as family members and be so close to them that sometimes we have problems in dealing with some of these things, where the Scriptures are very clear along certain of these lines about gossiping, about busybodying, about evil speaking. Is it healthy? Is it something to be done? Is it right to discuss everybody and kind of hash it out? Or what do the Scriptures say? Is telling the truth, discussing everybody and just kind of airing everything out, is that evil speaking? Is that healthy? What are some of the thoughts of the brethren? Brother Tim.
One point, I'm not sure where the reference is, but Brother Russell makes mention of three things to ask yourself before you speak something about someone else. Is it true? Is it kind? And is it necessary?
So we have three checks, is what you're saying.
You could look at those as being three checks to have to answer the affirmative to and search out before you would actually speak something against someone else.
Okay.
I had another scripture too. In Romans 12:17, maybe I thought of as a general principle.
It's Romans 12:17.
In no case paying back evil for evil, determine on the noblest ways of dealing with all people, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. This doesn't speak specifically of our Christian family, but it speaks about in general to deal in noblest ways with all people, not paying back evil for evil. And I would think certainly that evil speaking, evil surmising would fall into that category of paying back evil for evil, even in retribution of some sort. So I would think perhaps, I appreciated Brother Levi's comments, but I think more along the lines of within even the family structure, consecrated or not, would be more an open dialogue where honest feelings can be aired and explored. If someone does we have a principle. If someone does something that is not right, we have Matthew 18 as a matter of adjusting misunderstandings. And I would think that would be a general principle we could apply somewhat with anyone that we would have a misunderstanding, not with the purpose of necessarily pursuing as Matthew 18 does to that end, but at least a talking and dialoguing to come to some understanding of this disagreement.
Very important point. We have to lift up high Matthew 18, and I hope we discuss this as we go along and apply this to our study. If we know something to be true of Brother A, and it's not very complimentary about Brother A, are we at liberty to go about, just because it's true, to tell anybody else about that? Or is this evil speaking? Sister Rebecca. Thank you. Brother comments. Brother Levi, Sister Esther, Sister Janice, and then Brother David.
Just to make it clear how much I love you. You can talk to people when you love. And this is a rather singular situation, but in all of your comes to get married, you've heard of them somewhere. But take this race matter. It came to a situation where, in this particular group, the race situation had to be talked about. good that they could talk about it, because they held up or not. But what happened was that it had to be aired, that there was no place for those who had prejudice in that particular group to go. So they had to discuss it on a family basis, and they did. It was very lovely discussion. The friends were still attending, but they said for the sake of their children, the only way they could solve this interlocking, clashing situation would be for their children to go elsewhere. So now, I can tell you that because I love them. And that's how the problem was solved on a loving basis. Now, the mother is still there, but it had to be discussed, and came out openly, and she loves the brethren, but she says, my children, I'll have to let them make a decision about what they want to do. So they had to go elsewhere because they couldn't see any legitimate family fraternization in public. So I said that because I love it. I wouldn't tell you that if I knew what the other one would say. There's no prejudice in this area. I know that. But as I say, it's how it had to be solved on a fraternal basis, and that's how it was solved. They had to lose the class.
Thank you. Sister Esther, might telling the truth be evil speaking? What are your thoughts? Thank you very much. Sister Janice.
Yes, I've always appreciated the September 10th manna. It addresses this right to the point. And I'll just read one sentence here, part of the sentence. A slander is equally a slander, whether it be true or whether it be false. And is so regarded not only in the law of God, but also in the law of the civilized men.
Thank you very much. I'll just add on a few sentences down, a thought that I like too. A slander is anything which is uttered with the intention of injury to another, whether true or false, and the laws of men agree with the law of God that such injury to another is wrong. That's reprint 2444. Thank you very much. Brother David, and then Brother Frank.
A lot of wonderful thoughts to respond about here. I like the three tests that Brother Tim gave, and maybe I might add a fourth to that. That we want to do all things for God's glory. And sometimes that means telling things that perhaps are of an evil nature, but necessary. I think an example of that might be the Apostle Paul when he was warning the brethren of certain false brethren. For example, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20, he talks about Hymenaeus and Alexander. He was calling attention to things about them that were unfriendly. But it wasn't with an idea to slander them or to assassinate their characters, merely to bring the facts to the fore for the defense and protection of the flock. And I think that honors God when we do that. And motive is very important here, too. And on the matter of what should we feel free to speak with one another about, certainly the principles of Matthew 18 are important, but I tend to think that those principles are involved with things of a more serious nature, because the ultimate in following the Matthew 18 format is a possible disfellowshipping. And so I think that would rule out things of a more trivial nature and things that we could forget. But a responsibility we have toward one another is that if we know something about a brother or sister which is true, that has to do perhaps with the weakness of the flesh. I like Sister Rebecca's comment about hand-to-hand combat. We all have that. And it does no good for us to tell one another about what weaknesses of the flesh that another person has. You know, if we feel comfortable with sharing that in a testimony meeting, that's one thing. But if we go about sharing that information, we could do damage to one another. For example, our elders. Our elders work very hard for the flock. And the elders have weaknesses as well. What good will it do for me to discuss the weaknesses of Brother X or Brother Y? What I could be doing is ruining his ability to shepherd the flock by telling something that's true. That doesn't honor God. That doesn't honor me. That doesn't honor the brother. It's something that should be kept private and not dispersed. If I were to disperse it, I think that would fall into the evil speaking category.
Thank you very much. For the Frank.
There's a man of comment that states also, and I can't remember the date, that there are occasions where it is necessary to speak something that's uncomplimentary to someone else because it is a danger to the flock, and that it would pain one to have to do it. That would be a searching of your own motive as to why you're doing it. That has to be very clear, that your own heart condition is correct. But I have here 35 scriptures, which I don't intend to read this afternoon, that are in the scripture. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, wrath, strife, envying, drunkenness, and such the like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, he says, neither filthiness, foolish talking, nor jesting, and I'm excerpting this, Ephesians 5, verses 3, 4, 6, and 11. But in part of this it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And when you reprove anybody, they're not going to take that as a compliment. They take that as speaking evil concerning them. But if it's true, and if it's dangerous to the flock, the example, there is fornication, there is these things. I mean, I know some instances. And it becomes necessary that they be exposed if it would be dangerous to the flock. And sometimes you do certain things, and someone will say to you, why do you do it? But the problem is, very few come to you to ask to see if you have a legitimate reason, which is unfortunate also, that you have a ready answer as to why you do such and such. But I think there are two sides to this issue. That's what I'm saying. And I've been about 54 or 55 years in the truth, maybe more, but I rarely have heard the other side of this issue of evil speaking. And I think the reason in the Bible, when you're reading James as your topic today, is that in most instances, let's say 90-95%, it is harmful. It is a deadly fire. It is wrong, and so forth, and is not necessary. But sometimes there's the 5% or the 2%, and that's all I'm suggesting this afternoon, that there are certain that it becomes necessary, which Brother Armstrong mentioned 3 points. And the last one was, is it necessary? Well, sometimes it is.
You bring out a very good point, and I think we're going to bring this out. I had in my mind, especially on question number 5, we look at that a little bit more detail, but right now I think it's a good place to introduce it. So far, I think what the brethren have been saying, that, and what our pastor has told us, that telling the truth in some cases can be evil speaking. It certainly can be. If we know something uncomplimentary about a brother, which is defamatory to their character, which would injure them, we start spreading that around, even though we know it to be true, that is evil speaking. But there is an exception to the rule. And Brother Russell says it's a sole exception. And we have to be careful how we deal with this exception above all. And I think Brother Frank has mentioned that, about looking at inward, first of all, how we handle it ourselves. We have to look first, be very introspective before we deal with this matter. And then deal with it according to the prescribed way of the way the Lord has set out. And then, beyond these first steps of Matthew 18, we take it a step further, instead of just a private affair, to a more public affair. And we hope to look at some of these things in question 5. But there is an exception where if the trespass be of sufficient importance and likely to break our fellowship, as some of the scriptures were quoted, with the offender, we may go to him and discuss the matter with him alone, first of all. Not even, Brother Russell says, not even hinting to anyone else that there is a problem. Not by a look, not by a word, nothing. Go to him, not with a view of judging him or condemning him, but with the object of helping the brother out of a perceived problem. And this is where this dialogue has to come in. This is where the searching out of the facts before you judge a matter, to see whether or not, Brother Russell says, a person is at fault. May be mistaken, may be applying something, may have mean it in the wrong way. What's going on? So there is an exception, and we're going to get to this as we go along. So, might telling the truth be evil speaking? Yes. Is there an exception to the rule? There is also an exception to the rule where others may be injured. Suggests reprint 2444, 5122, even an uncomplimentary remark respecting another, injuring his reputation, is evil speaking, although the uncomplimentary statement be true. It kind of brings this right down to a common level where we might find ourselves doing that. We might think that we're far removed from this thought of evil speaking that carries this great intent of trying to hurt another, whereas sometimes subconsciously we might be doing these things. When you look at it, even an uncomplimentary remark. We think about that in our own lives. Have we said anything else about the brethren without them being there, as Sister Rebecca says, in an uncomplimentary fashion, which didn't need to be said? It's not something that's really high and far removed from us, brethren. It comes right down to ground level. We find ourselves guilty along these lines more often than we should. Let's go to our next question. We'll develop this thought even a little bit further. How do we know when we are evil speaking instead of simply giving information about another? What are some of the things to look at? Because there are cases, as Brother mentioned, we get together, we're interested about the brethren, we like to talk about each other. Is it wrong to do that? We meet together and, how is Sister so-and-so? Don't say anything? Or what do we do? Let's look at this now. Question 3. How do we know when we are evil speaking instead of simply giving out information? And what are some scriptures that bear along this line? Brother Paul, start us off.
I like this question. But it makes us evaluate ourselves. How do we know when we're evil speaking instead of simply giving information? Are we preoccupied with giving information? Is this our main thought? We always have to be giving information about our brethren, whether it be good or bad. Are we in that position? If we're in that position where we feel that we have to constantly give information about our brethren, then I think we're looking at things in a negative manner. You know, Paul had and he was relating to Moses when Moses was in Egypt and Moses killed the servant and the one that he saw killed the servant. He says to Moses, "Who made you a ruler over us?" Our Lord also in Luke in the 12th chapter says, one of the companies said to him, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide an inheritance with you." And he said unto him, "Man, who made you a judge or a divider over you? Take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life consists not of abundance of things which is possessed." Our Lord knew that there would be some that would want to take an authority over this kind of an affair, or have a preoccupied life of giving information about the brethren. I'll tell you, brethren, I'm not interested in that. I don't want to be interested in it. I want to know about my brethren's well-being and their health. I don't want to know about the evil things. That's foolishness. You know, in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, says, "But this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was that wicked one and slew his brother. And why did he slew him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's were righteous. Whosoever hated his brother, you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in it." So I think we have to be very careful that we don't become preoccupied in wanting to give out information about our brethren, whether it be good or whether it be bad. If this is our total life's preoccupation, I think we've got to sit down and count our cost as to what exactly is we're doing. put in jeopardy.
Okay, thank you. We're going to interject another scripture here for your consideration and hope that we can perhaps try to sort this out a little bit. We have this thought of gossiping, we have this thought of busybodying, but yet we have this thought also of being interested in the brethren and interested for their welfare. Let's look at Philippians 2:4 for a minute. Philippians 2:4, where it says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Now, how do we start drawing some guidelines here? How do we know, in doing these things, where is the line? Is there a line somewhere? Is there a buffer zone between talking about our brethren, about being interested in them in this sense, and evil speaking? What are some guidelines? How do we look at these things? Should we not talk about our brethren? Should we just limit it to nothing? What should we do? Brother Bob.
If I could extend your spectrum from evil speaking you put on one side and then you put gossip in the other, I'd like to keep going past gossip in the direction of something I'd call good speaking or good speaking. In the rest of this chapter, I think he gets into talking about Epaphroditus and how Epaphroditus was a brother, companion, laborer, fellow soldier, your messenger, etc., etc. That's good speak. That's good things being spoken about our brethren. I think there is such a spectrum. And I think in one of the references you gave us in Volume 6, there's a place where Brother Russell is describing in-between place, where you don't know what to say. And he uses the word, you should be dumb, meaning silent. And I think there is a place in the middle of this line where if we don't have something good to say, we shouldn't be saying something bad, we should be quiet. So to speak, bite our tongues. Now, on the good side of this, I can think of a lot of things that we can read from the Scriptures and tell someone about how the scriptural accounts are laudatory about the good works of saints, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Well, we have our brethren. We can speak good things about them. When it starts drifting from being a good example about someone to just idly information, I think that's where we get into this borderline of gossip. And I put that on the wrong side of silence. And then as you already examined, it gets worse going towards evil speak or evil speaking.
Thank you. Brother thoughts, Brother David, then Brother Tim.
Just picking up on Bob's thought, I like a text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. Bob made the comment that we should know when to be quiet. Well, the Apostle Paul says this as well here. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:11. And he says, "And that ye study to be quiet," interesting turn of phrase there, "and do your own business." Some translations say, "mind your own business." There are times when we ought to mind our own business, and we ought to know when to keep quiet, as Brother Bob mentioned. Knowing what to talk about when, one more text, in Titus chapter 2, verse 8. In fact, maybe I could read 7 and 8. Titus chapter 2, 7 and 8. "In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech." I like that. The word sound there is from the Greek word that we get in English, hygiene, or hygienic. It's upbuilding. It is healing. It is soundness of mind and body. So sound words that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. We have a tremendous talent in our tongues. When we get together, we can use that talent in a tremendous way to glorify God and to build up one another. When we do get together, our emphasis ought to be on spiritual things. It is not wrong to talk about our everyday life experiences. It is not wrong to talk about how we're doing physically, how we are bearing up under the physical trials that we have day by day. But the emphasis ought not to be on that. And if when we get together, the emphasis is on new creature fellowship, then we won't find time to gossip or talk about idle things. We must remember that the tendency of the human flesh is towards depraved things. I remember seeing not long ago an advertising on television for one of these pulp newspapers you see on the grocery stands. And there was a woman there saying, "Inquiring minds want to know." And what that is, that's an incitement saying to you, well, if you really want to know what's going on, you'll buy this product. Well, the bottom line is that this product is filled with gossip. It's filled with evil speaking. It's filled with untruth. It's absolute clutter, and the depraved flesh loves it. If we recognize the tendency of our flesh in that direction, then we want to strengthen the new creature to be on guard. And once we get the social amenities and the social concerns for one another taken care of, now let's get the concerns of the new creature. If that's to the forefront, then the tendency for gossip and the bad part of the evil speaking will be wonderfully submerged.
Thank you very much. Brother Tim.
I'd like to back up from the scripture that you read in Philippians 2nd chapter and just go back to the beginning of that, because I believe those few verses in the beginning there help with that verse. In the beginning it says, if therefore in relationship with Christ there is any encouragement, if there is any persuasive appeal of love, if there's any fellowship in the Spirit, if any deep felt affections and sympathies, then make my joy complete by your mutual identity of purpose, your common object of love, your fellowship of feeling, and your harmonious thinking. You will not act from factional motives or out of vanity, but with humble mindedness, each will regard the other superior to himself. Neither will each be looking out only for his own interests, but also for those of the other. So I think it's right for us to have a feeling of interest in our brethren and wanting to know how they're doing, and especially in our, well, I would say in general, but we probably find that within our own ecclesia relationship probably more prominently. And I would think an example might be that if we knew of a particular brother or sister who was having a difficulty, and we were privileged to some of the details of it, but we weren't sure whether those details should be explained or not, or were made available to others, the very least that we can do is mention to the brethren that that person is having a difficult trial or experience, and we should keep them in prayer.
Appreciate that. We'll take one more comment on this question, and then we have to move along. Anyone else has a comment? Brother Ken.
Father, know when we are evil speaking, it's simply getting information about others. I think the analyzing what information about others might be, what categories it might fall in. I think that two obvious categories are public information. For example, what the brother says from the platform, or more private information about a person's life, what he said in private conversation, or what he did that the brother in general don't know about. I think quite obviously conveying private information about a brother very much smacks of evil speaking, because we seem to get some satisfaction of letting brethren know something about our brother that is unknown, and if it is known, it would have the effect of degrading or lowering another esteem of that brother. But I think when we get into the matter of public information, that's another category. There might be times when it is glorifying to the Lord and it is honoring the truth by repeating public expression of the brother, especially expressions from the platform if we feel that they have been harmful. But even this, if it is proper, could still be evil speaking, because it all gets back to what is our motive. And how do we know? I think we all know if we have a little bit of hurt in our hearts, a little bit of jealousy, a little ill feeling towards our brother because of what he has said or done or other things. I think we can objectively determine what our motives are in these matters. And it gets very serious. I like the way the scripture that has been written, James, the way James put it. James 3:14. But if ye have bitter envy and strengthen your heart. Glory not and lie not against the truth. And this is a very serious thing. If we have any degree of bitterness, hurt, jealousy towards our brothers, and we say things about him, trying to convey the fact that we have the proper spirit in the matter, and for the good of all that we're saying these things, then we are lying against the truth. We are lying against the spirit of the truth that we are possessing to be manifesting at that time.
Thank you very much. And that hits to the center of the question. We should ask ourselves some questions, brethren, as we deal with this and we're giving information about our brethren. First of all, do we simply state the facts, or do we embellish upon them, particularly when we don't get along with a brother or sister? We like to add a little bit on. And another question we should ask ourselves is, do we evil surmise about others? Are we starting to attach some motives onto what we are saying about our brethren, which isn't there, which aren't there? This is an important question. This gets to the heart. This gets to the motive of relating the information. It is proper to talk about our brethren in certain cases. We have certain scriptures that we've talked about. Philippians 2:4. We've got Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Remember what Brother Russell gives us the thought of? We consider one another. Study thoroughly one another. To look at others' interests, spiritual interests, and to know how to help them to give a word in season. So we're not just restricted to have blindfolders to ourselves and look at no one else. We can relate information about our brethren. We come to the meeting and say, well, someone's not there, how's brother so-and-so, or sister so-and-so, she's sick, she's doing this, whatever. Is that wrong? No, it's not wrong. We're interested in our brethren, we're concerned about them. But when we start adding things on to that and start surmising evil motives upon our brethren, that's when we're starting to head into off the cliff, so to speak. 1 Corinthians 13:5, love thinketh no evil. When Psalm says, the words of the pure are pleasant words. It would pain us to give a defamatory tale about somebody, even if it's true. We have a problem, go directly to the source, go to the brother or sister. You know, it seems another underlying principle in this whole question of evil speaking is, in the Lord's sight, the value of a person's name, integrity of a character, and not to diminish that, not to erode that, not to attack that in any sense. Consider, for example, Proverbs 22 and verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold. Another scripture here, Proverbs 19, verse 1. Proverbs 19, 1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and that is a fool. The Lord seems to be holding up very highly the thought of character, the thought of a name, and the thought of anything that would take away from that is an abomination in the Lord's sight. Especially, doubly evil, as Brother Russell says, amongst the brethren, if we would speak evil of another brother. We have to be very careful how we relate information. We can talk about our brethren, have noble motives, be concerned if we're interested in their welfare, they're sick, what can someone do, can someone visit them? Something along that line is fine. But if we start saying, well, I think they're staying away from meeting, they're not really too sick, they just don't want to be here, that's a different story. Let's move on. Our time is slipping along. There's much more we could say. Reprint 51:22 is good along this line in examining some thoughts about information and the transition to evil speaking. Let's look at number 4, brethren. What is the relationship between words which set on fire the course of nature and evil speaking? Perhaps we don't see a relationship there. Do we? We believe that there is. Words that set on fire the course of nature and evil speaking. What is the relationship between those two? Who'd have a thought? Let's start with, what are words which set on fire the course of nature? Brother Levi.
You've already referred to
John.
You can decide for love, so it comes around impact. You can say, he can say to love his brother, love God, and hate his brother, like, so I mean, I just didn't show you how strict these scriptures that you're dealing with are, and you take from which you're taking, because John was the disciple of love, and he is the one that Jesus challenges them all, but they want to know, Judas broke his heart. Because betrayed him. Hardly even put those in the word. And so they wanted to know, well, who was it that did it? And he said, one that's dipped in the sop with me. So these things come from sometimes our closest friends. So as John, as you're quoting there, he says, John, he says, he that loveth God and hateth his brother, the life. So he's talking about the contradiction of terminology, which none of us here, I'm sure, would consider ourselves guilty of. But it's so written.
Okay, thank you. Sister Mildred, you're next.
The words I would say would be malice, envy, strife, hatred.
Okay. Thank you. What does this mean? It sets on fire the course of nature. How can words do that? How can this... how can the tongue do that? Set on fire the course of nature. What does that mean? Who else have a thought? Sister Merrily.
I think there are words that we can hear become very insane, but they may not be the words that are said by the speaker. Another word is how we hear what's being said. Sometimes it calls my attention in a phrase I use in the night, red letter words. There are words that maybe I would speak that don't mean the same things the person hears them, but when they hear them, they get all bent out of shape and reverse. What somebody may say to me may not mean nothing to them, but when I hear them, they can absolutely set me in a chitter. And we don't know that about our brothers. We don't know what words we're going to be saying or what words we're going to be hearing that will necessarily be saying.
Very good. I think this is why we have to study thoroughly one another to get to know those things which could be irritating, could set our brethren on edge, which might not affect another. We're just going to interject here because of our time. We want to get to number five pretty quickly since our time is running out. We think that there's some very deep lessons there. But this thought of the words which set on fire the course of nature might occur if the person knows the weaknesses of another and mentions in conversation something perhaps a little bit indirectly stated about that brother or sister without realizing that those indirect comments or those word choices will affect another brother or sister to pick up on those and take them in the wrong way. And that starts the process of thinking about evil things, setting on fire the course of nature. It's like one case in our ecclesia where a brother was talking to a sister. Just the very fact of the way he led a testimony meeting, opened up a whole can of worms. Well, he does this wrong, that wrong, and the whole thing, where you would think that that's an innocent enough statement, but it starts spilling out into other things where it could have been avoided, perhaps, knowing, you know, in this instance, avoiding certain things about that brother in a particular case where there was a problem in one case, it cleared up, it wasn't a problem afterwards, but it was surprising how those words were picked up on right away, and it led to really bad things. And it seemed like it was almost nothing. It was kind of indirect comments. Then the third party picks up on this, and then that could be even propelled even further. The object is not necessarily to slander. In some cases it may be, but it may be done in such a way that evil speaking is directly avoided. We're not really zeroing in on somebody right away, but by our word choice, by what we talk about, we can, to another person, set on fire this course of nature, the fallen nature, which wants to hear the juicy facts, which wants to build up upon those things, which wants to tear down instead of build up. We have to be very careful sometimes how we speak about certain things. Know our brethren, know their weaknesses, know what to avoid in certain cases. And certainly so we don't get to the point where this evil speaking, it may lead to evil speaking and scandal and slander if we're not careful. The thought we were looking for here is careless words sometimes, insinuations, hints. Brother Russell mentioned these things in reprint 4381, a good reprint on this topic. He He says that some of these things are dropped into the minds of neighbors or friends, and these are already predisposed to evil. In other words, the receiving party is thinking wrong in the first place. They're evil thinking, evil surmising, and he says, these words are like lighted matches dropped into a hayloft at the start of conflagration, which may do incalculable injury to the neighbor from which the sparks may fly far and near. You never know. The power of the tongue, the effect of the tongue, those words can be carried far away from us. We might find out a couple of years later that someone picked up on these words much to our horror. So we have to watch those things, brethren, even emphasize the carefulness of our speech amongst our brethren. Along this line, sarcasm, jesting in the meetings, foolish talking, these things can lead to some of these other things. How many times have we joked in a meeting about one another, a little bit of sarcastic talk, we find that the other has been hurt, and it goes farther than that. It's happened, and it will continue to happen if we're not careful. Let's go to number 5. This is a deep question. How should we deal with a brother or sister who begins to relate an evil report? How should we deal with them? Someone comes to you with a tale about someone else. Look what he's done wrong. Look what he's doing. What do we do about that? What is our responsibility? We have a thought. Brother David.
Well, it requires a lot of courage because we may have to stop it at that point and say, brother, sister, what you're telling me I don't think is useful. I think maybe we have to examine whether it's something that needs to be spoken of among the brethren. I had an experience many years ago when I was back with the witnesses that illustrate this. We had a sister in our congregation who had been spreading a story, and it came to me, and she started telling me, and my first reaction was, did you talk to the brother about it? What her story was, and we found out subsequently, about half the congregation knew, that she had seen an elder coming out of a bar, arm in arm with somebody, stumbling about as if drunk. Sister, did you go and speak to the elder? No, she hadn't done that. That was mistake number one. And why are you spreading it around? After we investigated, what had happened is that this elder had a brother who was alcoholic. And the man at the bar was in the practice of calling up this elder and saying, your brother is inebriated, can you come down and get him? And the elder came down to the bar, picked his brother up, but while carrying him out, and the man, his brother was in this inebriated condition, the sister saw him. So it completely transformed what she saw from something evil to really a good work that the elder was doing toward his brother. So the lesson that I got at the time is how careful we must be, even with the facts. Because we don't always know the facts, even when we think we do. And if we're bothered by something, or if we hear something that is of an untoward nature about our brethren, we should stop it right then. Not allow it to go any further. It requires courage, but it should be done so as to minimize the hurt of our brethren.
Thank you. Further comments? Sister Ruth.
Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And so if a brother or sister begins to have an evil report, we should stop them at once. We shouldn't continue in the fellowship or edamon or ask more questions. We should just, you know, stop it. Because there's no edification in that. There's no edification in all this evil report, gossiping or whatever we're doing. Because what we should be doing is embroidering our robes. And you're not putting any embroidery work on your robes by all this evil report.
So when we hear any uncomplimentary remark of our brethren, stop them right in their tracks, is what you're saying. Is that easy to do?
Yep.
It's easy to do. Good for you, sister. Thank you very much. Sister Rebecca.
Before stopping the evil speaker, I think I would try to take an aggressive mode and say something good about the person who's being spoken about. And I know it works fairly well. At work, I even depart on Friday. And as you know, people in the world are either complaining or evil speaking.
So it's like a practice, and it works very well. Sometimes you can stop it. And then if it doesn't work, then you can leave to say something. But sometimes it's good to say something very positive, or like, oh, that person's just like me.
Okay, thank you. Further comments? Mr. Marguerite.
Yes, I was just thinking, if there's gossip going around, which shouldn't be, of course, but sometimes it happens. So if that is the case, and it comes to you, and you know that this gossip is going around, but you didn't know it was going to come directly, just heard it indirectly, and you haven't gotten involved. But if it comes directly to you, it might be a good thing to talk with that person that's giving you this so-called gossip and ask them, well, now, where did you hear this from? And what do you think about it? Are you relating this to me with an evil intent? Or is it, would you like to try to help the situation? Or what is your reason for relating it to me? And if you can talk with the person, perhaps you can get to the source and maybe either help the person you're talking with or stop the gossip from going around any further.
So you like to emphasize the motive behind the reason for the discussion. Okay, thank you. Brother Levi.
I think it was Mr. Tokyo. No, I'm saying, I think it was her to make the comment. I kind of remember. So I don't think it's right. About the role. This is just a positive counter thrust to the area that we're talking about. Because actually, at this particular end of the game, we're supposed to be in the king's chamber, helping one another to adjust each other's role. And if you don't in order to get the preparation for the kingdom. So I'm just throwing it into a positive. That's how we should love one another. That's how I feel about the person. But that's where we should be helping one another to get things. We're only one step away.
Okay, thank you. I think, brethren, we're going to have to limit the comments here. Fortunately, our time is over, but we'd like to emphasize on this point something which we believe shows there's a lot of responsibility for our pastor. I would recommend to everyone, if nothing else, look at reprint 4281 this evening and consider the strong advice that the pastor gives us here about what should we do, how should we deal with a brother or sister who begins to relate an evil report. We'd like to quote a little bit from that. He says, there is a truth-telling which is in harmony with love. If a scandal-monger and a backbiter and a slanderer and evil speaker has disclosed a matter to us, it is our duty not to repeat the matter and not even hint of it to others. But it is our duty to tell the matter and all vilified spoken against. In other words, it's to stop the person and also go to the other person that's spoken against and warn them. And he says, why is it our duty to do this? The same spirit of love which would prompt us to tell the aggrieved one of the facts, mentioned 3 points here. One, it will put him on his guard and assist him in overtaking the falsehood or misrepresentation. And all lovers of truth and righteousness should be glad to assist in such a manner, to guard others against this taking away, stealing from the good name. Number two, it would be very helpful, doubtless, to the slanderers or the evil speakers, as a practical lesson would be brought us home to them. They might learn before it was too late for learning that they are still cultivating the works of the flesh and the devil. So it's sort of this reproving that we've had brought up from the scriptures to the one that's actually coming to us with this tale. And then three, this course would be profitable to ourselves because it would assist in developing in each true courage on the side of truth, the Lord's side, and against the side of the devil, the side of slander and evil speaking. This thought of courage. When someone comes to you with a story, wouldn't it be much easier to stop them in their tracks? It is hard. It requires courage. We have these close relationships amongst the brethren. Sometimes we deal with one another. Sometimes, in many cases, we have family situations amongst the brethren. But to stop somebody right away, say, and Brother Russell says, in a loving manner, but yet in a firm manner. This is not according to the spirit of love. I request that you stop this right now. Otherwise, what happens? Then we sink in a little bit deeper. Then we're part of the whole problem. Then we have to go to that brother, and then if we listen to this for a while, we have to go to the brother, and we have to warn this brother too. We have to reprove him too. So we got two situations. So as we start, in other words, if our filter is there starting to hear something which is defamatory, uncomplimentary, we detect the motive of evil speaking, of wanting to injure, to slander someone, as soon as we hear that, stop it. That's our duty. That's our duty to stop it. Right in this track before it gets too far. And then, if it's, go to tell the other one, to warn them what's being said. And then this other one's going to come to the first one saying, what are you talking about? What are you talking about me? These things are not true. There's lessons to be gained here. But it shows the courage and responsibilities. And Brother Russell brings out the thought of this is part of this overcoming process of overcoming the flesh. The flesh doesn't like to do that. And he goes into thoughts about how the adversary uses the tactics of, he says telltales or tattletales, that we would think that by doing this, going to another, we're going to be grouped into this general category, which is not true. It would harm them. We go to them and talk to them. And this is where the truth, telling the truth, would be in harmony. And it's too bad that we don't have a little bit more time to discuss things affecting not only the ecclesia, but inter-ecclesia things, and how problems amongst the brethren, what the duties are amongst the brethren to discuss some of these things. And the last point, brethren, if we persist in evil speaking, our spiritual life, we will lose our spiritual life, plain and simple. These are works of the adversary. These are works which are set on fire in the course of Gehenna, second death. Angry words, bitter words, sarcastic words, taunting words may set ablaze the whole course of a person's life. Impel it with angry force, the Brother Russell says, toward the second death, Gehenna. We have to watch, because these words coming from our tongue are like sparks. We can't control. Once they're off our tongue, we have little control over them. Better we stop it before they get out, because it affects not only ourselves, but those around us. Reprint 44:46. The title there is Wandering into Outer Darkness. Is very good along these lines. Another thought that we have is, however good our intentions, none will be crowned for striving unlawfully. Taken from Reprint 42:81, 2 Timothy 2:5. We have to know what the laws are, the law of love. We have to strive lawfully, brethren. Otherwise, we will be in danger of losing our spiritual life. Our brethren will be in jeopardy. It's a serious topic. It's a deadly fire. Let's treat it that way and look inwardly to make sure that we're not participating in some of these works of the adversary. Appreciate all the comments. May the Lord have his blessing. Well, brethren, it's certainly not an hour and a half. It's not long enough to examine this subject thoroughly, but the time that we have spent together, we hope that we can stir up our pure minds on this subject of evil speaking and gossiping. I believe a lot of fine points have been brought out, a lot of gems of thoughts have been brought out, which will enable us now to balance the scriptures on this subject in the future. We thank Brother David for his labor of love in preparing this outline.